Hello, everybody, and thank you all for tuning in. This is Hawk Radio, and I am Alexis Thompson, and I'm here with my co-host.
Hello, guys. I'm Maura.
Hello, hello. Good morning. This is Juan.
And I'm Ira. Hi, nice to meet everybody. Hope you guys enjoy.
Of course, and we are Around the World, a radio show where we talk about all things culture, all things around the world. So, how is everyone doing this morning?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to start with mine. My morning was terrible. I got a flat tire. No, literally, like, I woke up late. It was 10, and I was trying to leave. We got to be there at 10:15, right? It was 10, yeah.
I was laughing because when you came in, I was telling on one, like, I was like, hey, this is how, because we was going over the show, and I was literally giving an example of you. I was like, well, Maura do this. Like, maybe she'll see, like, three chickens with one head or something. And then she's like, oh, I had a flat tire. I was like, oh,
no,
shit. Right right yeah, right I was just talking about you. Like, we was just giving an example of what we was preparing, like, for the show. So it was just
fun. Yeah, but my front tire, my front left tire, it was, like, about 15 to 20 PSI. I had to fill that tire up. And then it took me, like, 10 minutes to fill that up. Came late.
Well, terrible at least morning. We all here and we all safe.
You made it. Of course. That is the biggest thing. It's all of us being together for this.
For sure.
Made it though.
So, we have a couple of things on the agenda today, multiple different topics. We have a little bit of, what about you, Maura? What do you want to talk about your topic? Let's introduce it.
Today, I'm going to be talking about Japanese culture of social withdrawing. It's called hikikomori. It's very interesting. You guys stay tuned.
Cool. And what about you, Juan?
We're going to be talking about the American dream, how basically it has changed. I'm going to discuss actually some interesting topics, interesting facts about that it's not the American dream anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope you stay tuned, guys.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Ira?
Well, today I'm going to be discussing the inauguration from Trump's first time in office. And the last one he just did, and which is this year, 2025. Ooh, and I'm just going to be breaking down kind of like, you know, the promises and executive orders he's drawn up in 2016. I'm not going to go through every last one. I'm just going to kind of dissect his words or what he said. And like kind of, you know, we're going to kind of, everybody's going to give their opinion or give their thoughts on it. And, you know, hopefully we create like a, you know, make him stick to his promises, and you know, this grows the fact that we're on radio and we could speak about it in an open manner, and it'll be great for, you know, just everybody listening. We're college students, so you know, other college students are probably interested in this and the information we're going to give, and that's pretty much it. You know, hopefully we come out with some good stuff.
Nice. I mean, I ain't going that deep, sadly. I was just talking about the top 5 animated series from last year.
Ooh, that's okay. Real nice.
So, you know, give you a little something to talk about,
It's just around the world, huh?
Around the world. Multiple topics. So, first off, we're going to have a little music break. Okay. And our song right now is going to be On and On by Erykah Badu. Hope y'all enjoy.
We'll be back, guys.
Intellects do not believe it. clock's turning. Oh, what a day. What a day, what a day. The man that knows something knows that he knows nothing at all. Does it seem colder in your summer? The God job.
Welcome back, everyone. If you're just now tuning in, this is Round the World, a radio show on Hawk Radio, in which we talk about all things lifestyle, culture, and around the world. So, Maura, today you had a good topic for us.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, you guys. This is Maura's segment. I'm going to call it 5W and 1H. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys know what that is?
Nah.
Why, when, what, where, who, and how.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
That's actually cool.
So I'm going to be talking about the 5W1H of hikikomori. Ever heard of that before?
I've heard of it.
Hikikomori, yeah.
With like relations to like otakus and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to find out about that. Okay. I'm going to start with the what. So what is hikikomori? So it's actually having the willingness to do regular activities. So it's kind of like they isolate themselves from social groups or social activities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't want to get out of their house. They don't want to get out of their
room. I think that's something that people all around the world go, like they literally go through that type of, have a stage that like they go through that. So it's not just in Japanese. So I guess that's actually...
Yeah, but the thing is...
Working it down, it might help a lot of people everywhere.
But in Japan, though, it's a big trend.
Right.
Yeah, it is a big thing.
That's how they call it.
It's called hikikomori.
Hikikomori.
And do you think that was a that's like a build up from like COVID, or is that like was that before?
We'll find out about that later.
Okay.
Okay. So when does this hikikomori thing started? It's actually started way back, guys.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So social withdrawal issue was brought to the surface when a trend of school refusal. It's called futoko, increases around 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's way back from 1970s.
You said it was because of the increase of school?
Yeah, it's in school. Okay. So I found this from an article called Hikikomori, a Society-Bound Syndrome of Severe Social Withdrawal, from an official website of psychiatry and clinical psychopharmacology.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big deal.
Yes.
You got a whole thing dedicated to it.
So it's happened way back. School refusal. Why though? Why it happened though? Because first thing, peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, in Japan, they kind of like glorify good grades.
Mm-hmm.
They glorify perfections in Japan.
So the pressure can't.
Yeah, the peer pressure. Yeah.
Okay.
Peer pressure, like, okay.
And also a bullying.
Okay.
Peer pressure, a form of bullying too. Mm-hmm. So bullying, or usually called ijime in Japan, it's a popular thing among students. The National Institute for Educational Policy Research in Japan found that 45.8% of boys and 51.5% of girls in first to sixth grade were victims of bullying in one semester.
So this is kind of like a way
to avoid.
Okay. So they kind of manifest that they cannot handle the pressure. Mm-hmm. Staying at
they
their house.
Yeah, they can't handle the peer pressure.
I mean, I don't judge that. Yeah, that sounds kind of. I mean, if I'm being bullied at home, at school, I'm staying at home.
This goes back to like, okay, we're talking about something that happens all around everywhere. When people say bullying, this is like the propaganda. Like, you know, when somebody like brainwash you, like this is bullying. This is this. What if people don't consider certain things they do as bullying or peer pressure? What if they like literally just believe that in there? And I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying like people label things all the time, and then some people like create a whole study or
when in Japan they bully.
Okay, like, they know they bully.
Like they have
yeah, they're abusive.
Like in those dramas.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. So those are like accurate.
That's accurate.
Crazy.
And then the kids just end up staying at home, not going. Well,
yeah, it's called ijime. That's why it's a big thing. It's literally.
It's real stuff.
Like the National Institute for Educational Policy Research in Japan, they literally researched about it, and it's called ijime, bullying. That's a big thing in Japan.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, that's why it's a real thing. That's why school refusal happened way back from 1970s, and Hikikomori created it. Hikikomori.
Well, actually, whenever I hear the name, I was like, what is this? What is this? Mm-hmm. But I mean, now that you're explaining, it makes sense. You don't imagine that, that would be the meaning of that word.
Mm-hmm. Also, other than peer pressure, it's the factor of this hikikomori also from the educational expectancy. They glorify good grades. They glorify perfect straight A's report. Yeah. And if they don't have that in their report cards, they're gonna feel like they're secluded. They're not.
I've seen a lot of
useless issues in Japan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why they refused to go to school, because their parents expected a better report card. But now you're just a failure at this rate. You think you're a failure, and then you just want to seclude yourself and lock yourself in your room. That's hikikomori.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a cause and effect thing? Like, is there like a positive effect and a negative effect?
We're gonna find out about that.
Ooh, I can't wait. And,
yeah, how does that affect oneself?
Oh, that's right next.
Okay. It's usually going to cause mental health problems for sure. Mm-hmm. Health issues and cognitive decline. When you don't socialize, your cognitive abilities is becoming more and more, less.
Like shot. Like yeah. Not good.
Not good. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what's a good word to say that. Okay. And actually, some health issues like obesity. Oh. You don't walk.
Oh, obesity,
you don't work out.
Just keep eating at home.
You just keep eating ramen at home.
Laying down.
Video game. Yeah, that's gonna fail your body, deteriorate your whole body.
Mm-hmm.
And then death, usually.
Oh.
Death.
Yeah, depression state.
Oh, yeah. Mm. You're right.
I've never heard of nobody dying from depression.
What you mean?
I've heard a lot of cases, actually.
Somebody died from depression? Yes. That's like being sad.
I mean, you ended up in suicide.
Okay, suicide is not the same as depression.
Well, what do you think causes the other?
But depression takes you to...
Depression is depressed, and suicide is suicide. It's two different things.
Gotcha.
Sure, yeah.
But what causes suicide? A depression.
Not
mental
really.
State.
Somebody could be like mad because they like...
Mad?
They could be mad at the world, and
that's depressed.
That's fair. Let's go to the next point. Fair.
All right. So, TLDR, guys, okay. Hikikomori is a form of social isolation that usually occurs between late teenagers and early adult phase. This term was made public by Fujiya Tomita in 1985 after the trend of school refusal happened around 1970s. Adolescents who suffer from hikikomori tend to lock themselves in their rooms while maintaining as little social interaction as possible in a long period of time. Three main causes of hikikomori are peer pressure, educational expectancy, and personal immaturity. Hikikomori increases the risk of having several problems such as health issues, cognitive decline, mental health issues, and death. So what do you guys think?
I feel like that's like something I've heard of before, like I said, with like the trend of like otakus.
Oh, yeah. Because
I know like in Japan, like otakus, that's like not a fun thing. Like in the West, when we're like, oh yeah, I'm an otaku, it's just like, oh, I like anime, I like that. But in Japan, that's like, you don't want to be called an otaku. That's offensive. That's offensive.
So kind of this social, what I'm saying from this, that kind of this social pressure is taking people or taking kids, teenagers, to actually real health issues. Like real that's real sad. Stuff. So this social pressure is
is a big thing.
Yeah, it is a big thing.
It can actually affect your life. That's why be nice, guys. Be nice to your friends. Check up on them.
Be nice. Be kind. Because
You know what could happen after
that. Yeah, you don't know what happened to your friend. They might be, they can be subtly depressed by, you know, hoarders habit.
Yep.
It's actually a form of depression state too. Lock yourself in your in their rooms. It's actually a form of depression, mental state too. So you check up on your friends, guys.
The biggest thing for me is like, if I give you any suggestions about, you know, checking on people or kind of like, you know, being a friend, it's like, you know, once you get a certain age, you just have to be responsible. You just got to take pride in your own self-care and responsibility. So like, once you get in a rut, you got to figure out what you, when you were born, what you originally made you happy, what originally, you know, what originally happened for you. Even if you were born in a tough situation, just like, remember what made you exactly happy, what made you be out on a,
that's good,
go out on a,
respect. Yeah.
That's good.
Going back to those like inner child things, like that brought you joy and that. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point to make.
So, well, that's all I got for today's topic.
And that's very interesting, actually. That was cool. I liked that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maura, for that, for those details, that topic that, I mean, nobody knew.
At least not in the West, at least. Yep.
And you guys, if you feel any type of self-struggle, let people know. Don't put it into yourself. Don't keep it to yourself.
All right. Well, that's great. So, after this music break, we're going to be talking with Juan about the American dream and what it used to mean and what it is now. But for right now, we're going to have a music break with Kali Uchis, Telepatia.
Thank you.
right, guys, and that was Telepatia with Cali Uchis. So, everybody, welcome back. So, we have a big topic today with Juan. Juan, you want to speak about it a bit?
Hello, hello, good morning, everybody. This is Juan. I hope you like the song. I mean, honestly, I like kind of like the chill mood that we have.
Are they a new artist or are they like been around for a while?
She's kind of new. She's kind of new. She's actually from my.
Yeah, she blew up recently.
How old she is?
Ooh, she's like young, in her 20s, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I do know that she's in a relationship with Don Toliver. Yeah, like they have a kid together.
Don Toliver's been out for a while.
Wow.
Never knew that.
Good thing is that
I don't know. I'm not a gossiper on relationships, so I ain't finna get into it. Somebody be like, "What are you talking about my woman on the radio?"
What I know is Cali Uchis blew up after that song specifically.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got a lot of popularity after that song.
The song is fire, though.
Yeah, song's fire.
The song is fire.
Yeah, the beats definitely went in.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, guys, we're gonna get right into my topic. I bet you know somebody that moved recently. I know that you know somebody.
I am fresh off the boat.
All right, so I'm this is for you. This is for you.
She said, "I do indeed.
I do indeed."
Quite personally.
That's good. So my topic today actually is gonna be the American Dream. A new reality. So a lot of years ago, the United States was the perfect country.
Yeah.
It was the most beautiful place you could live.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it was even a utopia, a world with no errors, no poverty, no violence. But was it ever like that? And if it was, is it still that beautiful place everybody thought it was?
Mm.
So today we're going to discuss about United States.
Fancy.
How the American dream has changed. I mean, it's not the same thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming from, I'm an immigrant. An immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, guys, that's going to be it. I hope you stay tuned. So let's get it started.
Mm-hmm.
According to BBC News, most people would say that American dream has to do with individual success connected to wealth and the immigrant dream, that anyone can come to this country and make success of their life.
Mm-hmm.
But now, did you know that the American dream did not always mean that?
Ooh.
At first, the American dream, this little words right here, American dream, it didn't mean that. The American dream has to do with, it was used to remind the Americans that they were ideals of justice, equality, and opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So the American dream, it was not for the immigrants. The American dream, it was for their the own Americans. People, the Americans. Now, if we really think about this, how much the immigrants have changed this country.
Mm-hmm.
Not only in the economy, not on the immigrants has changed the country so, so much.
Mm.
But when you're describing it, okay, 1776 was when we first were considered America. And if you do your research before then, there was people already on this land. So it's like there's no really such thing as like what those people that, if you do the history or the research, that those people who first were here were at war and they were all fighting over the land that was already obligated by others. And when people come, as like you say, you're an immigrant or whatever, that it shouldn't be a big deal if you come and people have made it a big deal. But I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just think the boundaries and that they put up for America is always a combative back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you actually go off the statistics, that it was a lot of stuff going on that was not really dreamy or really good or bad for a lot of people. So we just got to make sure those people don't, you highlight, you know, when you speak immigrant, there was some very destructive people abusing people that were already here. So when you come speak, there's history that need to be actually dealt with, kind of like in a manner of like the people who were already here got to get their just due as well. So when it comes down to it, it's like, it's very, I can't explain it, but like it's a lot of people feel like you, and they already been here hundreds of years. They're generational. Like, at first, like, I can remember my grandmother telling us the story about, you know, her great-great-grandmother being on the Indian reservation. And she doesn't know a lot of information, but she know her relatives was on that reservation with other people. So it's like they don't really speak on that. And I also read a 100-year book. It was the 100-year war for natives and people of Florida, which we're located at right now. And I read that book, and it just described how they pushed everybody towards this coast, at the Gulf of Mexico coast. And, you know, that stuff never really got situated, because we're still in big old institutions. It's just, you know, dressed up very nice. So,
but what are the changes that the immigrants brought us to the America?
So my whole point was the American dream. You know, the American dream, this phrase that we have here, it's now it's common between the Latino people, mm-hmm. the Asians that are moving. So my point was that this, we thought that this phrase was only for the immigrants, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But now my point is that it was at first, it mm-hmm. wasn't for the, just for the immigrants.
It was so for the Americans.
By 2020, the year 2020, did you know that 45 million immigrants were living in the United States?
45 million.
Immigrants were living. I mean, that's a crazy number if mm-hmm. you think about it. My country in Colombia, we are actually, the whole population mm-hmm. is 45 million.
45, so it's
45 million. My country, we're 45 million.
Wow.
And in the United States, 45 million immigrants were living in the United States.
Oh, that's actually a neat comparison.
That is a big number.
It's a whole group of people.
That is a big number. And this is without the U.S.-born children, which their parents were immigrants. Mm-hmm. So I was reading a little bit about this. Nancy Foner, professor of sociology at Hunter College, and specialized on international migration studies on the University of New York. In her book, One Quarter of the Nation, takes an approach about this topic, examining the ways that immigrants have transformed the U.S. culture. Mm-hmm. But we're going to kind of touch a little bit about the changes that the immigrants have done. But who was in charge of changing their own dream? The immigrants. Now let's put it like this. If somebody visits your house and they say they want to live with you from now on, what does that mean? It means you have to make space for them. It means you have to buy more food for them. It means you have to change mm-hmm. your whole routine. Mm-hmm. But now let's put it this way. What if this was a person that you do not trust? How would you feel about that? How would you feel if a person comes up to you and says, hey, I'm going to live with you from now on? I bet you wouldn't agree to that.
Yeah, if you would, I feel okay, like they're suspicious, that? It's like...
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that immigrants are only weird, because this is us. I'm an immigrant. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying us, the immigrants, are only...
You can consider anybody immigrant.
Yeah.
And when you're born, you're I'm gonna talk about it a little bit in mine, but when you're born, you're already in agreement with the United States of government when you get a social and birth. So it's like... Nobody should look as, oh, I'm an immigrant, as an excuse or anything. Like, I understand where people are coming from, but also it's just like certain people have been put on a pedestal that shouldn't even be close to a pedestal. They should be hiding under a rock somewhere, because their ancestors and their people that came before them were very destructive, and they don't get talked about enough because they still got control and power that they should not have, because there were people already here. So your people probably are ancestrally on here already as well, so... You just got to remember why you like this space and this area, probably because it's in you and you want to be here and it's comfortable for you. And you see a lot of people like you here. So you're the majority, probably, if you think about it. It's just like they got these rules and regulations and make you like an institutionalized mind or a small minded thinking, or, you know, not calling you that, but just a lot of people in general don't realize.
Rules and regulations have to exist, right? Right. That's your point, right?
And that's what I'm saying. The rules and regulations were formed in 1776, totally, and they still haven't changed. They were considering black people and brown people a three-fifths of a person. They were calling them animals and fucking
holding them up with
chains and holding them, hanging them from trees and all kind of stuff.
Yeah, so the respect has to.
It's still stuff hanging around in the world that is like, you know, like correct. On some real. It ain't been corrected. So just know your fight is a lot of people's fight. Mm-hmm. It's not just immigrants. It's people, like I said, when you're born, you got children. It still could be, they try to throw your kids in those type of situations because the mm-hmm. color of their skin and all that. So it's bigger than what you think.
But do you think the American dream, the way people call it, do you think has it stopped becoming the American dream?
It's not really a dream. It's like you living it.
Every morning,
I'm telling you straight up, like, I feel like I tell y'all, this is a great opportunity for us to even be at. Like, this is, we're speaking to everybody. It don't matter if one person right now is listening, a million people probably could hear this, going to hear this audio somewhere down the line. So it's like, it's a great opportunity for people to hear y'all take, hear my take, and then take it from there. And then if you really do your research on the stuff that you're speaking on, there's so many people at the Capitol. I was talking to you guys, we were preparing for our show, that if you go to the Capitol, these people are sitting there, mummies. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even need to be there. They need to all be out of the building. None of them need to be there. They don't know what's going on with the youth. They got these old trending ways, and it's like, and it's just, it's very like,
Thank you, Ira, for your appreciation.
You know, I'm with you. Like, what you're speaking on
thank
is real.
No, so. Thank you for that contribution. So actually, what we're going to do is that on the next show, since I didn't have time to discuss my the changes that the immigrants have done, we're going to do a part two on this American dream, new reality.
That's real.
Cool. So let's do a part two. And guys, please stay tuned for the next part.
Of course.
Yeah,
so in the next segment, we're going to hear
Ira. Thank you.
We're going to hear Ira talking about the inauguration of Trump that's recently and his plans from 2016 to now. But for right now, we're going to have a little music break of Icon by Jaden Smith.
Start a record label, Misfits just did it. Nylon, cover 5 minutes. Whoa, we are too hot in the business. About to make a movie independent. Need new trucks independent. I need you to listen to the vision. All your verses sound like dirty dishes. I'm about to clean them in the kitchen. And we making money by the minute. I'm about to do a way different. I am just an icon living.
I am just an icon living. Icon living. I am just an icon living. I am just an icon.
I am not a Mayan, I'm a menace. It's wild, you can lie like a professor. I don't got the time to put you on a stretcher. I am here and I still flex. I am just an icon living. Start a record label, Misfits just did it. Whoa, I'm high snob, cover 5 minutes. Whoa, we are so hot in the business. Last verse was before the award show.
What?
Icon tatted on my torso. Me and Moy dipping in the porso.
What?
I ain't even taking on torso.
What?
Damn. Last girl signed a divorce, so what? Now I'm focusing, we about to all blow up. We just tryna make the whole crowd go nuts.
What?
Look, we don't know no one like you.
Huh?
Gold grills and you dance like Michael.
What?
No eyes, Misfits, no typos.
Yeah.
Look, wait. We just wanna make you go psycho. Put $100,000 in the Bible.
Ooh.
I took the game with my eyes closed. Last verse was before the award show.
What?
Icon tatted on my torso.
Huh?
Me and Moy dipping in the porso.
What?
I ain't even taking on torso.
What?
Your this far, I'm more so.
What?
Young Jaden dying on the floor. So what? She broke my heart to the core. So what? I guess we all gotta grow up. I'm just an icon living. Start a record label, Misfits just did it.
Ooh.
Interview cover 5 minutes.
Woo.
We are too hot in the business.
Ooh.
I'm going straight to the top of the crew. We should just chill and maybe take it slow. Before we get up there with nowhere to go. And we can chill and just look at the view.
Woo!
Damn. Load a yellow rose into a rifle.
Ooh.
Me and Harry about to go psycho.
Psycho.
Put 100,000 in the Bible.
Bible.
Damn. Wait. Go teeth dance like Michael.
Michael,
man, it's on like a light bulb. Light bulb over all the cutting in a Tyco.
Damn. about to make a movie independent. Woo! Need new trucks independent. Woo! I need you to listen to the vision. Woo! All your verses sound like dirty dishes. I'm about to clean them in the kitchen. Woo! And we making money by the minute. Woo! I'm about to do a way different. God. I am just an icon living.
I am just an icon living. Living. Icon living. I am just an icon living. Living. I am just an icon. I am just an icon living. I am just an icon.
Alright, y'all. Thank y'all for coming and listening. This is Ira. I'm going to go right into the inauguration speech. First thing I'm going to do is give y'all some just some quick notes. I'm currently in class. I'm in college, so I'm already taking American government. So I'm going to give y'all some notes that I have, or, you know, just some definitions and some, you know, information, factual information, just based off the what's in the, you know, legislation or whatever, you know, government, you know, terms, keep terms and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm kind of go feed y'all some information from there, and then I'm gonna go right into all the quotes he had for the 2016, and then I'm gonna go right into the quotes for 2025, just a few of them, and then we're gonna dissect it. So
wow, cool. Hot topic. Yeah. I know, so recent.
So recent, huh?
It's not really recent if you go back 2016.
Yeah, for 2016, but 2025.
A lot has happened. We had the COVID. We had all kind of stuff happen. So, you know,
it's for 2025.
But yeah, but it was, you know, it's, you know, this topic is kind of crazy for me because I like what one was talking about last, but it's kind of gonna go deep, a little bit deeper from the top,
right?
And then, like, I'm finna just go into, I'm just give y'all some quick terms and stuff. Checks and balance. This is something my mother instilled in me when I was younger. She made sure I knew, like, what that meant, far as, you know, when we going down, far as talking about putting a bill in and all that stuff. We went over that a lot when I was younger, and then it didn't come back to me until I was in high school and they started talking more about it. So I'm gonna just give y'all a few terms. Checks and balances, like, this allows the branches of the judicial system to correct what needs to be corrected and set aside their differences to work together. That's what checks and balances basically is. That's put in terms of my words from the term. And then the social contract one is like, it's an agreement between the government. And like I said, like, with the notes that I put when I was writing this, is like, that's the first agreement you have with the United States of America is your social and your birth certificate. You get that 2 or 3 days after you're born, and a lot of people don't understand that. And I want people to understand that. Don't let that wool go over your head. My family got attacked just from being, you know. My family got attacked that we're American citizens. So, and this is just off the base of our color. This is based off the statute and status that my family had obtained just from working hard. And this from my great grandfather, my grandmother, my grandmother's, my grandfather. He was both of them were highly decorated for the Army. I'm not saying war and all that is good, because they had to do what they had to do at that time. Mm-hmm. They were forced to do. They were drafted, basically. And everybody had to sign up. So I don't want people to look at it as a bad thing that they had to go over there and fight, because they had no choice. And it was like, and they still attacked the family when they left, when the man was out the house. So I just want people to understand where I'm coming from, where I write and speak on political topics.
That's
that's good
perspective, actually. I mean, correct. The background that you have.
And I don't really speak on these things because, like, I'm still young. I'm still mid. I'm getting older as I, you know, time goes on. But I got a lot to learn still. So that's pretty much it. Awesome. I'm gonna go right into 2016. I'm gonna give y'all some facts. Like I said, basically exactly verbatim from bar for what he was saying was gonna do in his inauguration speech. You know, this is what he said. He said, the golden age of America begins right now. That was 2016. He said, from this day forward, our country will flourish, have respect again. Okay, first, when he said, this is crazy to me. He's like, make America great again was his whole, you know,
mission.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that propaganda. That's a slogan. That's a slogan.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, make America great again. From my standpoint, I just used to laugh because I used to say this to my family. I'm like, when was it ever great to some people? And I'm like, you like one-sided still. And like, I always go back to when America was formed. And it's just like, so much y'all still like, y'all, like I said, I think the whole Constitution is shouldn't even be there no more. They still have us, they took wording out of it, but 3/5 of a person is still listed in there. So I don't know who they talk about now, but for my DNA, it's very strong and powerful. So I don't know about everybody else. I'm pretty sure all y'all come from strong backgrounds and DNA as well. So that's what it comes down to. Correct. And I'm going to continue to read it. The scale of justice will be rebalanced. That's what he said in 2016. Hopefully he stands on what he said. Ooh. We'll stop the weaponization of Justice Department and government. He said that this 2016, he said it's more relevant in 2025. Well, I'm going to go back into those notes that I was telling you. Those are stuff that he said out of his mouth. And we'll stop the weaponization of the Justice Department. I'm going to give y'all a quick story. A lot of stuff. Like, I have a child, and I have a lot of nieces and nephews and little cousins and whatever. They are my nieces and nephews. So there's people were put in place in the school department, and they were attacking little children's spirits. And I'm just going to speak on it because I have the mic. And people might agree, but my child, I feel like they attacked her spiritually, and I didn't like it. As a man, the only thing you could think of is attack physically, but I use my mind mostly because I speak with my mom often. Mm-hmm. I speak with a lot of my sisters often, my girl cousin. I try to keep good friends that are females around me, so I try to use my mind before I use my physical. And it worked out because overall, I just know, like, it started at the school. A lot of the times, those people are watching our kids, and they're there 8-9 hours half the time when you consider going to the bus, coming from school. It's a lot of period that they're not around you. But if you do the research, we did a lot of those teachings were done in home. I learned a lot before I even went to school, just from having great mother and grandmothers around. And I just know that we got to pay attention. And I'm just... And like I said, he put people in place in our school department that it did not help. And hopefully this time go around, he changes that. He didn't speak a lot about that in his speeches or anything yet. And I don't want him to get so narrow-minded because the children are the most important.
I have a question, though. Like, you said they're, like, attacked your child, like, mentally?
No, just, like, I could see a change in, like, how they, how, you know, when you're not ready to wanting to go to school. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I feel like that's all about teaching. That's all about mental. They're feeding information to my child that I probably wasn't worth her hearing. And okay. I feel like they got to make sure they have the right systems. We don't really need a lot of the standardized testing. It's so much I could go into. Standardized testing is very, very like, what are we learning about this? Why are you not teaching them other things besides standardized testing? The standardized testing is to see how much money your school is getting, who matches up with who. Mm-hmm. And it's like some kind of like competition, but no, they need to learn what they need to learn. They need to be put in place where they need to be put in place. They need to be taught the things that they're great at. So
how does like wrap it is, around?
I am, and I'm going to continue. I'm sorry for getting off topic. I'm going to continue the quotes from 2016 that I'm going to 20. It's very few, it's a lot. So I'm going to go. This is also what he said. Will we know how a government that is protecting a former prison? This is what he said. We have a government that is protecting former prison inmates and people in mental institutions that have illegally entered our country from all over the world. That's quoting him. Mm-hmm. And my question I'm going to leave it and I'm going to go to the next quote. We need to review the executive agreements you made in 2016 and 2020 to see if you're writing all those executives, were you the one who putting all those, were opening up for us to get attacked, far as the way you felt with these immigrants and people who have mental all these prison inmates who were getting covered up, where you were part of the problem. So I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna go right into 2016. I mean, that was 20 a little bit from 2016.
So you're going to like 2025?
This is 2025.
We're gonna go. Oh, okay. We're gonna talk about 2025 now. So. My bad.
No worries. Take your time. Take time.
Okay.
But that's like interesting that he said all those things now, especially like the.
I know I'm probably gonna go into a little bit more detail, like, you know, when we break down like next week's what we're gonna do. I'm probably gonna go into something I've said, and then we're gonna go into that because I know it's a more than a 1 week topic or segment. So I'm gonna go into the next. I'm going to something he said for 2025. Mm-hmm. We have defenders. We have defended other people's nations' borders while refusing to defend our own. So basically what I got from when I was watching it, he was like saying that we wasn't defending our borders, but there's money being outsourced to help other countries and other places. But this is what I do know about America. Okay.
I think it was $1.3 billion, right? The money?
Yeah. I don't know the exact number, but if you can come back next week with the source, and we want to give our real information facts. So, we got time restraints or whatever. Another statement he said, I wish I could go into more. We could probably go into more if we have time at the end, but United States has spent trillions of dollars overseas while American infrastructure has fallen into despair and decay. So basically what you're saying, he said trillions, you said billions.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't give us exact numbers, so he said trillions.
I'm just gonna
leave it. That's what he said. So that's very like, he said so much and you gotta dissect it. So what I'm gonna say, like, America has their hand in all kind of dealings when it comes to war. They might not be directly in it, but they've been doing that. So I don't want people to like, we'll go into it. You know, it's time restraints, you guys. I appreciate it. Hopefully we get a minute or two. We talked about it a little bit, but that's it for my. We're gonna go into it. I don't really want to keep dwelling on it. I'm not going against our president or nothing. So, you know, it's all love. I'm definitely stay here. I have kids here. I have children. I have coach here. Like, I'm not going against.
Yeah, that's interesting, Ira. Nice knowing that.
But yeah,
thank you for
that's my segment for the day.
For the segment.
All right, and now for the last one, it's gonna be me talking about the top 5 animated series of 2024. But before that, we're gonna have a little music break with Pink Panthers singing Mosquito.
I wish we could give y'all more time. I had so many notes, I knew I was gonna probably.
Can I see you? Can I check my numbers? Cause I want to. I know it's annoying how much I do. Spending you the day that I want. I'm
All right, welcome back, welcome back. So, the last topic of the day is mine. Alexis, by the way, if you're still tuning in, this is Around the World, mm-hmm. in which we will talk about all things lifestyle and culture, and things around the world. And for me, I was talking about the top five animated series of 2024, although there's two that I would like to highlight right now in this segment. Okay. So,
for I hope my favorite's there.
Maybe it is.
Okay. I don't know about the new one, so y'all gotta put me on beat.
We'll try.
I'm trying to old head. Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
I'm putting y'all on. I promise.
I'm gonna write it down. You sleep.
So for me, what I did was I went between three different like movie or show rating systems, which is of IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, and Metacritic. And so I went through all three of those to see what was the more, like, what titles were popping up repeatedly within those, like, lists. Mm-hmm. And so for top five, just in general, we have at number five, My Adventures with Superman.
My Adventures with Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Top five?
Yeah. Yep, it's in the five. It's got a 7.7 IMDb.
What makes it a top five?
Well, let me give you the ratings. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 7.7 on IMDb, a 98% freshman score on Rotten Tomatoes with an 80% audience score, and an 80 out of 100 on Metacritic.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
What was the date they released it?
It started in 2023, but the second season was in May of 2024. Oh. So it kind of got a surge back up.
It's recent.
Yeah, it's very recent. It's new. Very much recent. It's
I thought you were talking about the, like, have you seen an animated show? It's like very old. I thought you were talking about that. It's like,
so it's of 2024.
I thought it was the one in like the 80s 90s.
Not that one. Yeah, but it does follow like a typical Superman like story.
So the fourth one
is The Dragon Prince. Yep, an 8.3 on IMDb, 100% freshness score on Rotten Tomatoes with an 88% audience score.
Wait, what audience score again?
An audience score of 88%.
That name sounds a lot kind of like a video game, honestly.
The topics that brings up are kind of video game-ish. They have like elves, dragons, and princes and all that stuff.
They should create a video game from that then.
Yeah.
The series actually ended in December of 2024, which is why I brought back up.
It was brand new.
Well, it started in 2018, so I wouldn't say brand new. But it is on Netflix if you want to check it out.
That's great. What is it called?
The Dragon Prince. It involves like war between humans and elves and dragons. Fantasy stuff.
We're getting into top three.
Yeah, we're getting top three. Number three is The Legend of Vox Machina. It has an 8.4 stars on IMDb with a 100% freshness score on Rotten Tomatoes, 100%. With a 93% audience score and an 81 out of 100 on Metacritic.
How you spell that? Vox Machina?
Yeah, VOXMACHINA.
It's kind of mixing the Spanish, huh? I practice that.
Vox Machina.
Machina.
Yeah. Oh, it's actually based off of like a D&D campaign. Mm-hmm.
How do you say Machina in...
What's a machine?
It's machine.
Yeah.
Machine. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it started with a D&D campaign.
And don't ask me not to speak nothing because I took 4 years to do 2 years of Spanish in high school.
A group called Critical Role actually was like, you know, the inspiration for and a big player of the show because it's based off of their Dungeons & Dragons campaign. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like a lot of hands-on stuff. And it was even had like a Kickstarter for it. That was, let me see. Yeah. So a Variety article by Todd Spogler about Vox Machina is that back in 2019, it started a Kickstarter, which not only caught the eye of Amazon, but got 11 million like dollars in less than a month.
Wow.
Yeah. And a ton of supporters too. So we're in the top two. Top three. So number two is Smiling Friends, which got an 8.5 on IMDb. 100% freshness score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 93% audience score.
I have heard of that one.
Yeah, it's not like serious at all. It's very much like SpongeBob.
Oh, like silly.
Yeah, it's a silly cartoon, literally. Gotcha. It's just a bunch of people trying to help people smile and all that. And it's so stupid.
Oh, that's my time.
But 100% Rotten Tomatoes?
I know. And if you think that's cool, number one's going to blow your socks off, Maura. It's going to blow your socks off.
Let's see.
That's number one.
Okay, hold on. Drum roll.
Number one is Arcane. Ooh, yeah. Who would have guessed? Uh-huh. It's Arcane. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. With a nine.
How you spell that?
A-R-C-A-N-E.
I never watched it. I'm telling you, I'm behind.
Oh, wow. It's on Netflix. It's good. But yeah, it's got a 9 out of 10 stars on IMDb, 100% freshness score on Rotten Tomatoes with a 91% audience score, and an 86 out of 100 on Metacritic.
91%.
Wow. Yeah. It's such a good show. I don't want to sound biased, but the fact that it actually was on number one, I was like, period. Deserved.
Hands down.
Very much a good show. And if you want to watch it, it is on Netflix. It's based off of the video game League of Legends, if anyone's heard of that.
I still think it should have been a 3
season. No, League of Legends has a video game. That's a good thing, so I know about it.
Yeah, so see, you're already caught up. Got League of Legends video game. Yeah, it's got the characters from the game.
Oh, yeah,
it's like
crazy.
A story based on the characters from the game, and it's actually really interesting. And it has a lot of focus on, like, you know, Jinx?
Yes.
Jinx. Yeah, it focuses a lot on Jinx. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, now, if you know the video game, then you're definitely going to like the...
Yeah, because it's like, you know, a lot of Easter eggs for those who play the game. And, you know, if you know about the game, then you know where the story will be going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about Arcane is the Jace with messy hair.
Jace with messy hair looks good. Yeah,
and Lady Melmadarda.
I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand completely. But, yeah. And what's a cool fact about that is that for the creators of, like, you know, Arcane, which is... Excuse me, which is Christian Link and Alex Yee, and, you know, a French Riot Games, Fortiche Production, a French animation studio. They've actually worked with Riot before, the creators, because they were worked back in 2013 with the Get Jinx, like, promotional music video that was done, like, in 2013, which I thought it was cool. And the fact that they're still focusing on Jinx shows that, like, they kind of have a little bias. They have a little fairy favorite character they like to work with.
Veritism.
Yeah, but like, yeah, those are the top 5 animations of 2024. Wow.
Didn't expect it.
And Arcane got a fire playlist.
Okay, Arcane is what's what is he trying to do? What is he accomplishing? What's the plot and twist?
There's a lot of things involving sisters, but we don't got enough time for that, sadly.
Yeah.
I'm going to just check it out. So it's about, it's like fairy tales and like fairies.
Check it out on Netflix and you'll find out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll tell me about it in the beginning of the next show. Tell me about it.
I will.
But yeah, thank you all for tuning in today. We had a great time and we can't wait to talk to you more next
for
week.
Sure. I'm so happy. Sure. Make sure all my family that I told y'all better chime in every week. Mm-hmm. This is big for me. I'm just excited to be on. This is something I always be doing. Like, I talk for real, so... This is something that I'm excited to do. So
thank you, everybody. Thank you to our host. Thank you, Alexis, for being.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank all of you.
Yeah, thank you for Sam and Santi for helping us out.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
If you're hearing this, shouting you out here.
Appreciate you
thank
guys.
Thank you so much. And to all of you who are
Zoe
listening.
Zoe, too. Right. Zoe helped us out, too.
Oh, yeah, and Zoe.
Zoe, Santi, and Sam, thank y'all for
a lot of people helping.
And then for all of you listening at home, thank you so much for tuning in. And we cannot wait to talk to you next week. See you next time on Around the World.
Bye-bye, guys. Bye. See y'all next week. Just thinking about your boy on my mind. Sometimes I catch myself daydreaming. I'll see your eyes and I lose all track of time. You know what I mean? I'm what you like. Put it all together, baby. We gon' be alright. Catch me before the pavement. What? If my-
my Benz turned back to public transportation. Would you still be at home for me with the candles waiting? And get my mind back adjacent to the place of a young visionary. A player too, you know I have some girls missionary. My black book of numbers thicker than a dictionary. And Bible, I got it recycled. I love and I like you. 5-course meals, even though you don't mind a drive-through. That's why I got you.